Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so good to be with you this morning. Welcome to June. We're happy to be here this Sunday morning, and I pray that something that we say or do or sing or just spend time together brings you closer in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ as we gather for worship this morning. I want to share with you just a couple of announcements about what we have going on here in the church. First of all, we're starting a new sermon series about bumper stickers, which this could get really interesting. If you've been driving around town and you pull up close next to the person in front of you and you read their bumper sticker, sometimes it tells you more about them than what you wanted to know. And we are going to be talking about some of the bumper stickers that you might see around town. Maybe some of them you recognize, maybe some of them you don't. This morning, we're going to be talking about a bumper sticker that looks like a mathematical equation. And I'm just going to break it down for you. We're going to have a little math class. And so buckle up for that. It'll be good. But throughout this sermon series, I hope it's just a fun sermon series that talks about some of the things that people project about their faith on bumper stickers that maybe you can hold on to parts of them, and others maybe you can categorically and unashamedly reject because they are not what we hold on to as United Methodists. Hopefully you received a couple of things on the way into church this morning. The first of which is a sheet of paper. We're in the midst of a strategic planning process, and I hope you'll take a moment. You can fill these out. It's got about 6 questions on here that'll help our strategic planning team sort of determine the next steps and what our priorities, goals, and objectives are for the church moving forward. If you wouldn't mind taking a moment and filling these out, you can bring them back to church next Sunday. You could give them to somebody in the community. They could fill it out. It's okay. We're looking for feedback from all kinds of folks. We're trying to get as much feedback as we can so that we can build a strategic plan that matches the goals and objectives of everyone in the church. The second thing is, hopefully you were handed a connection card on the way in to church this morning. We encourage you to fill those out. You can put them in the offering plate as it goes by later on in the service. There's an opportunity to sign up for a variety of different ministries that are taking place in our church. We encourage you to take a look at those and see if any of those speak to you. We hope that you'll take us some time to fill that out. Finally, there are prayer cards in the pew back in front of you. We'd be really humbled if there's anything that we can be praying for you or alongside you about. We encourage you to take a moment and fill those out. It doesn't have to be for you. It could be for a neighbor, a friend, a colleague, somebody else. We just feel really honored to be a praying congregation. And if there's anything that we can be praying for you about, we hope that you'll let us know. I want to let you know about a couple of things that are going on in the life of the church. First, tonight at 5 o'clock, there will be a celebration of generosity dinner. Reverend David Bell will be here from the United Methodist Foundation to talk about generosity and how that shifted and changed in the 21st century. We're also going to be saying a big thank you to all the extravagant generosity of folks here in the church. So if you haven't had a chance to sign up for that, you're more than welcome to join us this evening. It'll be 5 o'clock right outside in the community room, and we'll have dinner for you as well. On June 9th, there will be a strategic planning listening session at 5 o'clock. So you can come if you're not really a written word person, you don't want to fill out those sheets. You can come and join some roundtable discussions from members of the strategic planning committee. We'll ask similar questions around those roundtable discussions, and you can provide your feedback verbally about the future of our church. There's an opportunity to join Habitat for Humanity to build a brand new home on June 7th. No building skills required. You can just show up and get taught, as I did during high school, how to swing a hammer and cut, you know, 2x4s with a circular saw. We encourage you to join us with that on June 7th. It'll be the first of 2 building opportunities that you can be a part of with the church. Finally, next week we'll be starting a class. I'll be teaching it on a book called Unclobber. If you're interested in joining it, it's a three-week study, Sunday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested in joining us for that class, it's a book that sort of unpacks some of the scriptures that have been used to sort of justify a more conservative stance on human sexuality. If you're interested in learning about what some of those passages may or may not say or what they might or might not mean, join us for that. It's a really interesting, thought-provoking book that sort of advances the conversation about the scriptures. And with that, I encourage you to stand as you're able and join us as we sing our opening hymn together. Let us stand and sing unto the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. We do have that up there. Okay.
Lord of all, we thank and praise you for this day and every day that we walk with you. Bring us peace in our hearts amidst the storms of life, and help us to share that peace with others. Help us to feel your presence in all that we experience. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning is from Luke 3, 4 to 6. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks so much, Tom, for reading our scripture. As we get started today, Tom came up to me earlier and he said, you know, I was surprised to see you this morning because I thought Pastor Lindsay was preaching because the scripture passage was short. So I'm earning a reputation around here as being the read the whole chapter kind of guy. So thanks, Tom, for reading from Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who gets us over the tops of mountains and through the depths of valleys. Amen. So we're starting a new sermon series, as I mentioned, and Susan did a great job of sort of capturing some of the bumper stickers that you might see in our world today. Some of them are captured up here. The one that I'm going to be preaching on is actually, like I said, it almost looks like a math equation or maybe musical notation or something like that. God is greater than the mountains and the valleys is what I'm going to be preaching on. It looks sort of like this or like that, if you can see that better. And I was thinking about this as I was up in Traverse City this last weekend for annual conference, sort of preparing for this Sunday. And after college, I had this crazy idea that I was going to hop on a bicycle and bike around the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. I don't exactly know why, but I enjoyed biking, and I had lots of friends who graduated who lived all around the state of Michigan. So out of my parents' front driveway, I went on not a road bike, not a touring bicycle, but a mountain bike with full suspension and my tent and sleeping bag and what are all the other things, food that I needed, and panniers on the back of my bicycle. And the reason why I was thinking about this is up in Traverse City, we stay in Acme, Michigan, which is just north of Traverse City, and the most memorable part of that biking experience was one particular day when I started in Mackinac City and biked down to Traverse City. And if you've ever been up in Traverse City, you know that there's a road, I can't remember what its name is, that sort of goes right next to the bay. And I remember distinctively at the end of that biking day, biking into Traverse City and watching the sunset over the Grand Traverse Bay. The light was shimmering off that particular, bay on that particular day. And I just remember having this surreal experience. But what I appreciated most about that moment, if you've been there, is it is a long way down from the high bluff into Traverse City as you get closer and closer to the bay, so I didn't have to pedal at all. And I was thinking about that, because this last weekend, a couple of times in the morning, I got up with the same guy that I biked across the state with to raise money for Readers to Leaders, and we biked down that exact same way, and then I had to turn around and go back up, which I have to tell you was much more fun in a car than it was on a bicycle. So often when we travel around in vehicles, all we have to do is push the accelerator to the floor, and it feels very simply, very ordinarily, that the car just accelerates, and sometimes you don't take notice of just how intense or difficult or challenging it is to transgress a hill, a mountain, a valley. But when you're on a bicycle, or when you're walking on a treadmill, and all you do is push that little button that increases the incline from 0 to 0.5 or 0.5 to 1, you're like, oh, we are now walking uphill. And it's different. Today I want to talk a little bit about our mountains and our valleys. When you're walking, when you're biking, when you're moving across boundaries, you can feel the difference in elevation. You can feel when you're going uphill or downhill. Anybody who's run a long race, you automatically know. They talk about the Bobby Krim race in Flint, a 10-mile race, a random distance, the hills at the very end of that race that burn runners out left and right. They talk about the mountains in Europe when they're doing the Tour de France, these challenging barriers that we experience in life. A lot of us have very positive associations with God when we're standing on the top of mountains, looking out over beautiful vistas, taking in the whole world, celebrating the beautiful view and all of creation. And then there come the valleys. If you've been there, you know that the valleys don't tend to be as much fun. For those of you who have been to Israel, the landscape in Israel is fairly mountainous, and if you've been to Jerusalem, it is about a couple thousand feet of elevation change from where most people live in Israel, in the town of Jerusalem. And so throughout the scriptures and the psalms, there are stories, there are psalms that were written that people would chant over and over again as they walked up towards the city of Jerusalem up a nearly 2,500-foot elevation change. They were psalms that they said to themselves to reassure them that God was with them, not only when they got to the top at Jerusalem, where they'd be standing in the presence of God at the temple, but God was also with them in the valley when they first started the journey, wondering if they could make it one last time to the top of the mountain. There are all kinds of valleys that we experience in life. For those of you who have ever been sitting in a doctor's office and they walk in and instead of saying like, oh, you're totally healthy, you got a clean bill of health, your blood work looks good, everything is going fine, you know, everything's wonderful, go back, we'll see you in another year, get your blood work done, everything's great. If you've ever been in a doctor's appointment where the doctors come in and instead of talking to you and standing up, they sit down and say, I've got some news for you, you know what the valley of an unexpected medical diagnosis looks like, when all of a sudden you start asking questions about what's next and what options do I have and where do I go from here, and suddenly, instead of seeing in full panoramic vision, sometimes, at least when I've been sitting in moments like that, it almost is like my entire vision gets small. In that sense, you're in a valley. Instead of being able to see from the top of a mountain a 360-degree panoramic view, you look to the right and there's a mountain, giant rock wall, and you look to the left and there's a giant rock wall, and instead all you can see is this narrow path of the things that all of a sudden you have to do. Chemo. Eating different so that you stop taking in carbohydrates and sugars. Having to cut cholesterol out of your diet, all of a sudden canceling trips that you imagined having but suddenly are not able to do because you're on a new course of treatment. Those are moments where all of a sudden the wide vista of options suddenly become narrow, focused, and incredibly clear. Have you ever been in a valley of medical diagnoses that's unexpected, unplanned for, and you find yourself so confined by these walls on either side. Another valley that comes up in Scripture all the time is conflict. I find that every once in a while I'm coasting along perfectly fine, and I get an email or phone call that's like, "Pastor John, I need to speak with you soon." And all of a sudden I find myself thinking like, what did we do? Maybe you get a phone call from a family member, and they're upset about working out your share of the inheritance, and all of a sudden, a lifelong friendship that you had with a sibling suddenly comes unraveled, and all of a sudden you find yourself arguing with somebody that you love, somebody that you're related to by blood, and it creates a rift in the relationship that suddenly you find yourself confined in one of the valleys that exists where there's conflict. Some people like to live in this valley. For some of us, the relationships that we have with our spouses are just so riddled in this conflict, and it feels like there's no way forward, there's no compromise, there's no adjusting our perspective. We just argue and argue and argue until the cows come home. It can feel like a valley with no way out. Some of us find ourselves in valleys because we learn some particular habit that we can't shake. We find ourselves in a valley of addiction, and we continue to do some pattern of behavior that makes all of the possible yeses that we experience in life suddenly no's because we can only say yes to one particular thing. Maybe we have an addiction to a substance, or we have an addiction to a particular behavior, where we have an addiction to eating, or we have an addiction to a certain particular behavior of one kind or another, and we find ourselves locked doing the same thing over and over and over again. There's lots of valleys, aren't there? I mean, frankly, I could probably go on and on, but there are so many different ways that we find ourselves in these low points in life. And this bumper sticker I find interesting when it says, "God is greater than our mountains and our valleys." I think part of what this particular expression of the faith is to suggest is that in the midst of our high points, we celebrate the relationship that we have with God. We're praising, we're singing out, and it's sort of like what we experienced this last week at annual conference with like 1,200 United Methodists from all around the state, all of our friends, our colleagues, our companions around the journey, and all of a sudden, conference ends, and yesterday it ended, there were like 120 people left. Everyone had gone home to go home to preach and get back to their families. By the end of the conference, people had dispersed, and all of a sudden, it went from this full, massive conference room to me sitting, you know, basically by myself in this section, and it was like, "Let's pass the peace," and you're like, "Hey!" How many of our mountaintop experiences are like that? We find ourselves in a moment where we're so invigorated in our faith, but it's followed by this valley where we might feel alone, isolated, and afraid, where we might feel anxious about whether or not God is still there. We have this psalm that we share a lot, Psalm 23. You probably know it by heart. Many folks who read the scriptures routinely, maybe you've heard it at a funeral. But there is this statement in the midst of that psalm, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." There's a strong group of folks in the United States that preach the following message: if you're faithful, if you give regularly, if you're engaged in a church, if you're connected, you will be blessed. Anybody ever heard messages like that? You can turn it on TV, and the preacher, oftentimes with like much better hair and clothing than I'll ever have, will say over and over again, like, "God will bless you 10 times what you give." I got to tell you, I have no time for that. Where my faith really gets most interesting is when I'm in the valley and it feels like things are completely crashing all around me and I'm afraid and I'm anxious and I cry out a little voice in the night, God, where are you? And God still says, I'm here. And it might not be the same strong voice that I heard on the mountains with the rushing wind and the beautiful views. And I'm like, what amazing God is this that created this beautiful mountain? But when I'm in the valley and I don't feel alone, that to me is what combats this message of the prosperity gospel that says if you give $10, God will send you a check for $100 or $1,000. If you're faithful to God, you'll end up with crowns in heaven and all of this other stuff that gets preached all around us. Instead, what I say is God's with you on the mountain and on those difficult days when you're holding the hand of a loved one after years of faithful, committed marriage and they're breathing their last breath, God's going to be with you in the hospital room. And when you're biking up the mountain of Grand Traverse Bay and your legs are tired and you're out of gas and you don't know if you can keep on going, God's going to be with you in the valley. And when you're making a spiritual pilgrimage up to Jerusalem and you're walking up the hill and it feels exhausting and you're in the desert and you can barely see the western wall of Jerusalem that you're trying to get to, God will be with you in the journey. When you're experiencing addiction and you're wondering if you can break a habit that you just keep reverting back to and you don't know whether you can break and kick the habit, you can say, God is with you in the midst of your addiction. He won't leave you orphaned or abandoned or isolated. God will be with you. That's the faith I hold on to. God is with you in the valleys and the mountains, and I'm so grateful that God doesn't leave us abandoned when we go astray. You remember that story of Jesus who left the 99 for sake of the one. You matter. You matter. Just like Simba in the valley. I'm making a 20-year-old movie reference. And the wildebeests are running through, and he's crying out for his dad. And sure enough, Mufasa, risking his own life, his own comfort, his own security, jumps into the valley to go rescue his son. God is with you in the valley. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Steps in your in your word. Show me how to walk in your word. Show me how to talk in your word. When I need a brand new song to sing, show me how to let your praises ring in your word.
Good morning. This morning we have two prayer quilts. As we pray, please hold in your heart the names and needs of Marlene Hudson and Katie Bierman. And as you leave the sanctuary, you're invited to stop and tie the knots in the quilts and sign the card and say a prayer for them. These quilts act as a physical reminder of our prayers and offer great comfort and hope to those going through challenges. As I sought inspiration for this morning's congregational prayer, I turned to the Psalms. I found Psalm 104 talks about mountains and valleys as part of God's creation. And so I used some of those words and some of that structure from Psalm 104 in this prayer. So I invite you into a comfortable prayer posture. Settle in and breathe in the breath of God. Let's pray. God of heaven and earth, let us bless and praise the Lord with our whole being. We see you, God, in the world you created. The sun is like a robe for you, and you open the skies like a curtain. The wind is your messenger. The dancing flames of fire warm our hearts to your word. You set the worlds in motion, yet their foundation is fast and firm. You covered the earth with water and called up the mountains to separate the water and the land. All the land animals were given a home. You provided water for every living thing. The birds make the skies their home and sing in the trees. The fruits of the earth make it possible for the animals and us, your children, to get food that not only sustains us, but brings joy to our hearts. You created the sun and the moon to guide our days and nights. You made us strong, strong for work, and yet you taught us how to rest as well. Lord, in your wisdom, you have created a great diversity of things and people. The earth is full of your creations. The seas are teeming with countless creatures, from the microscopic to the largest whale. And we can ride on the waters or swim in the depths of the lakes and oceans and see them at play. You feed each of us and care for our needs. God, you know the pains on our hearts and the needs of your children. In our hearts, we name those in need of your breath to create hope, life, healing, peace, joy, and justice. As part of your creation, we pray that you would not hide from us, Lord. Help us to continually seek your face, your breath in our lungs, your creation in our midst. As we breathe in, make us new again, revitalized for living out your calling in the world. We offer Now a moment of silent prayer and meditation to draw in and focus on the breath of God. Let the Lord's glory last forever. May we sing to the Lord as long as we live. Let our whole being bless the Lord. Let us join our hearts and lift our voices to offer the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we continue our time of worship together this morning, we have an opportunity to gather around the table that Jesus presided over with his disciples to receive these gifts of bread and cup. And so we gather around this space celebrating and remembering and cherishing and holding on to the gift of communion, the gift of being together in community, the gift of being united in the faith as we gather around this table of Christ. And so we remember that 2,000 years ago, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he lifted it before the disciples and he said, Take this and eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me. This is my body which has been broken for you. Eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me. And after supper had ended, he lifted a cup and he said, This is my blood which has been poured out for you. Take it and drink it as often as you can in remembrance of me. And so we gather around this table in celebration and remembrance, giving thanks for Christ offering his life, death, ministry, teachings, and resurrection in our midst. And we say, Come, Holy Spirit, transform these elements into something extraordinary, more than what they are before us. Allow us to be in your presence. Allow us to be remade into your image and likeness. Remind us that you walk with us on the mountains and in the valleys. Transform these gifts of bread and cup and transform us into the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. And so we gather around this table, and it's not my table, and it's not the United Methodist Church's table. It's God's table, which means everybody is welcome here. This is an open table. As United Methodists, we practice what it means to be an opening table by saying that you don't have to be a member of this or any other church to receive these elements of grace. All you have to have is a desire to know God personally, and this table is open to you. And so in a moment, we'll invite our servers to come forward to assist in sharing in these elements. We'll invite you to come forward to receive the elements through the diagonal aisles, and there will be serving stations in the front, and then there's a place to put the communion glasses into these bowls up front when you've completed receiving the elements, and you can return to your seat by the center aisle. All has been made ready. Will you please come and feast at God's heavenly banquet? Amen. And I invite those who will be serving communion to come forward at this time. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for this holy mystery that is the receiving of bread and cup. Thank you for welcoming us at your table. Thank you for making space for us, whether we're up high or down low or somewhere in between. May this strengthen and nurture us for the journey that is ahead of us. Allow us to have courage to be the people that you would have us be. Allow us to boldly witness and courageously be a part of your work in this world through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I still have work to do. as we come to this time where we'll receive the offering this morning, I want to share with you that we were really blessed up at annual conference this last week. Churches from across the state of Michigan took up an annual conference offering, just one little moment of extravagant generosity. You all know that I am deeply passionate about our friends in Liberia, and a portion of our conference offering went to support a children's orphanage that's always meant a lot to me. I've visited there 3 times. There are 56 kids who've lost parents in Liberia that the United Methodist Church cares for. We took up an offering that also went to Water for Life in Liberia. My friend Jefferson Knight, who's dug over 500 wells in Liberia, and a portion of our offering also went to Haiti to create a health clinic that will help folks give birth, frankly, in a war-torn country where violence is all too common. And just in the annual conference alone, just in the last couple of days, over $45,000 was collected from churches across the state, which will be a huge blessing to those ministries, and our church was a part of giving to that. So as you give this morning, I hope that you celebrate the generosity that exists not only in our church, but throughout the entirety of our connectional church, 30,000 churches strong across the United States, thousands more across the world. Know that you're a part of something bigger than just us, that there are United Methodists gathering all around the world doing God's work in Jesus' name. So as the ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering, I pray that you would know your gift is transforming people's lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord God of the universe, we thank you for all that you have given us. Bless the offerings we bring today. Use them for the future of this church and the good that we hope to do in the world. Amen.
Well, as we close this morning's worship service this morning, I want to share one of the things that we do at the very end of annual conference is the bishop sets the appointments, is a Methodist way of saying, finalizes where United Methodist clergy will be for the upcoming year, and it's the very last thing. And back in the olden days, every pastor would open up the envelope and discover where they were going in the coming year, and I'm very grateful we don't do that anymore. Instead, what happens is, like, we basically know by the time we get to conference where we're going to be in the next year. And so I'm very grateful that what was thought to be true is confirmed, that Pastor Lindsay and I will get to be back for another year of ministry with you all, which we're grateful for. And this we felt as we were driving back from Traverse City. We're so grateful to be in ministry with you. We feel humbled and honored to be at a church that is as alive and vibrant and filled with disciples of Jesus trying to transform the world like we are here in our church. Thank you for being the church that God calls us to be, that Jesus intended us to be. And we're not perfect, but we're on the road. So watch out for the bumper stickers that challenge you and encourage you in the faith. You have no idea what the bumper stickers on this road of life may teach you about your journey with Jesus Christ. So let's get out there and see what God has in store for us on the mountains and through the valleys. Let us go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.